the Jerry, or Gary, who haunts our political system. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, there's news. Retail sales went up 0.3% in August as lower gas prices freed up money to spend on other things. But previous month was revised downward, and let's not forget inflation. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, the Fed's trying to knock the economy down here in the interest of fighting inflation, but we're still spending, this new data shows, I think.
We're sort of treading water after adjusting for inflation. The good news for consumer spending is that consumers are still spending on services. The bad news is it's not weak enough, the spending that we're seeing, to derail inflation.
A conundrum for central bankers. They're meeting next week on interest rates. And, you know, typically they like a quarter of a percentage point up or down when they change things. Then we started talking about half a percentage point, three quarters of a percentage point. What do you think about maybe 1.00 percentage point next week?
Certainly it's going to be on the table. I think one of the difficult issues for the Federal Reserve at this point in time is they believe, rightly or wrongly, that interest rates are currently at neutral. And when you still got inflation, you got to go up higher than that. And I think that's what many people lose in translation is even though we've had a lot of interest rate hikes, we started at zero.
From the office of the chief economist at KPMG, Diane Swonk, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wall Street was rattled by hot inflation numbers that raised fears of even steeper interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. So you'd think higher rates are bad for the stock market given the reaction, but that is not always the case. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Think back to 2017. The Federal Reserve had been raising interest rates steadily, and yet the S&P 500 was still up about 20% that year, according to Savita Subramanian at Bank of America. She says that kind of market reaction has been the norm.
You know, going back to the 80s, generally returns in the 12 months after the first rate hike have been positive.
So when the Fed is just tweaking interest rates to keep inflation under control and a strong economy, no big deal, says Larry Swedrow of Buckingham Wealth Partners.
So you could get rising rates, but from very low levels, and that's good for the markets because it's showing economic strength.
But Swedrow says that's not the case now, and inflation isn't soaring just because of a strong economy. It's also being pushed up by unusual events like the war in Ukraine, lingering supply chain kinks, and of course, COVID. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We watch one documentary a month for Econ Extra Credit. This time we're learning about gerrymandering through the film Slay the Dragon, the term named after a Massachusetts governor with the surname Gary, so maybe it should be gerrymandering, is credited with first getting fancy with the drawing of electoral districts to favor the party in power. The film is about a citizen's revolt against this practice, but it starts by attributing the deadly Flint water crisis on hyper-partisan redistricting in Michigan. Now, one prominent voice in the film is David Daley, author of Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy, and he's a senior fellow at the nonpartisan nonprofit called Fair Vote. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, David.
David, American democracy is in some ways a miracle, but would you say our founders really stepped in it with the census and then the states drawing up the lines?
I would say they most certainly did. Whenever you allow politicians to draw their own districts and choose their own voters, you are incentivizing them to lock themselves in office. And with the kind of technology, sophisticated mapping software and computer programs, and just the terabytes of voter data that's available out there on all of us, the kinds of gerrymanders that are drawn now are of a magnitude so different than the ones that Elbridge Gerry and the founders did themselves a couple hundred years ago. They are of a magnitude different than the ones that were done even 20 years ago.
This interview is clearly about drawing lines, and you draw a line between this fine art of redrawing districts and these new laws outlawing abortion in various states.
I think you can, right? I mean, Wisconsin has an 1849 law that banned abortion. And when Dobbs overturned Roe, it went back into effect. Some 70% of voters in Wisconsin want to see some kind of abortion access available in that state. But the state legislature so gerrymandered that even when Democrats win the statewide vote by a couple of hundred thousand votes, Republicans hold near supermajorities in the legislature, refuse to even consider it.
The Flint, Michigan water crisis. To deal with a financial mess, the Republican legislature in Michigan put in an emergency manager for town affairs in Flint. And among the decisions that followed that was a major switch in the water system that went horrifyingly wrong. David, you think without the one-party political power that came with this gerrymandering, the Flint water crisis wouldn't have happened?
I think it could have been absolutely averted, yes. It was in 2011 when Michigan's Republican-controlled legislature dramatically expanded the state's power to take over financially struggling municipalities and place them under control of a state-appointed emergency manager. Angry voters in Michigan toppled this law in a November 2012 ballot initiative. But 1 month later, Michigan's lawmakers ignored the public. They reinstated the emergency manager program, and this time they went ahead and added a provision that ensured it could not be overturned by the people again. And so when the public in Flint, when citizens complained that their water wasn't drinkable, that their kids were getting sick, when they complained, nobody listened because nobody had to listen.
All right. David Daley's latest book is called Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. He has another book on the subject, same subject, with a title that, even if we could pronounce it, it would still be NSFW, Not Suitable for Workplaces, the title. One documentary a month for Econ Extra Credit here. This month, it's the film Slay the Dragon, about how citizens in Michigan responded when the drawing up of political districts became intensely partisan. Now, let me ask you a question. When someone says gerrymandering or gerrymandering, do your eyes just glaze over, or do you see it actually distort politics where you live? Email us your stories. We'd love to hear. Extracredit@marketplace.org is the address. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.